I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's December 14th, and we have a lot to talk about. We're in the heart of the holiday season now, and for some people, that can mean dealing with a lot of stress. All of that cooking, eating, shopping, and socializing can start to feel overwhelming. And all of a sudden, the holidays aren't all that merry and bright. So joining me again this year to share some strategies that we can use to identify and manage stress when it strikes is Megan Weigel. Megan is an advanced registered nurse practitioner specializing in neurological care. But before we get to my conversation with Megan, there are a few other things that you should know about. Fatigue is not only one of the most common MS symptoms, but it can be one of the most bothersome, because fatigue is one of those symptoms of MS that can get in the way of fully engaging in virtually any aspect of life. When MS fatigue strikes, it always demands your attention. Now, unfortunately, there aren't any great choices when it comes to treating MS fatigue, but the recently published results of a study indicate that the best treatment available today could be something as simple as physical exercise. A research team in Spain searched multiple scientific databases looking for clinical trial data related to MS and fatigue, and they identified 58 different clinical trials. A statistical analysis of the outcomes of these trials indicated that physical exercise is a proven effective fatigue management strategy. Combined exercise was shown to be the most effective exercise modality for improving fatigue, and resistance training was also shown to be an effective exercise for managing fatigue among people living with MS. Earlier this year, the National MS Society published its recommendation that people living with MS at every stage of ability should include exercise or physical activity as part of their care. Now the results of this study provide one more reason for you to include some sort of exercise on a regular basis. If you'd like to review the details of this study or the MS Society's exercise recommendations, you'll find links to both in today's show notes. Since we've just been talking about fatigue, let's move on to something that's closely related, and that's sleep. It's estimated that about half the people living with MS have trouble sleeping, and lack of restful sleep is another one of those things that can get in the way of life. Lack of sleep can make your MS symptoms worse, it can increase daytime fatigue, and that can have a negative effect on your overall well-being. But like managing fatigue, there isn't yet a best solution to managing MS-related sleep disorders. A UCSF research team has published the results of a small study involving 30 adults living with MS who had reported sleep difficulties. And the study results indicate that over-the-counter melatonin was shown to be effective in improving sleep for people living with MS. Now, in this study, half of the participants received melatonin, and the other half of the participants received a placebo. After 2 weeks, each group was switched to receive the opposite treatment. And during weeks 2 and 4, the study participants wore a small device similar to a watch that recorded the amount of sleep they were getting. Additionally, the study participants were asked to keep an online sleep journal, noting their impressions of the quality of the sleep they were getting, how much daytime sleepiness they experienced, their fatigue level, walking ability, and feelings of anxiety and depression that they might have felt at the beginning of the study and then later as the study progressed. When the research team analyzed differences in total sleep time, they found that those study participants who took melatonin slept longer than those who were given a placebo. And because natural melatonin levels in the blood decrease with age, the researchers also looked at any correlation between age and the amount of sleep the participants were getting. and they discovered that younger people with MS slept the longest, with the amount of sleep decreasing with age. Now, it's important to keep in mind that this was a small pilot study, so additional research should follow. But beyond disruptions like experiencing daytime fatigue, poor sleep can lead to long-term health issues like heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. So regular sleep disruptions shouldn't be taken lightly, nor should they be overlooked. Be sure you're discussing them with your MS care team. And in the meantime, melatonin is available over the counter at any drugstore or pharmacy. If you'd like to review the details of the UCSF study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Over the past year, we've had a number of opportunities to discuss how systemic inequities in healthcare impact members of minority communities who are living with MS. We've seen ample evidence that access to care and quality of care aren't the same for everyone. And now, the National Alliance for Caregiving has released a report that reminds us that caregivers in minority communities also face a variety of systemic obstacles. The report highlights disparities in living situations, financial status, caregiving activities, self-reported health, and the information and services that are used by African American, Hispanic, Asian American, Pacific Islander, LGBTQ, and rural and socioeconomically diverse caregivers. The report makes clear that understanding the nuances of identity and culture are essential in understanding the challenges facing family caregivers and developing ways to support their needs. It also underscores that even among diverse population groups, there are differences in needs, and a one-size-fits-all single solution can't be applied. If you'd like to review the details of this important report, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Earlier this year, I told you about Amazon's Alexa Care Hub, a set of basic services that could be helpful to caregivers and were available through Amazon's Alexa devices. Well, Amazon has taken the best parts of their Care Hub, added 24/7 access to urgent response emergency helpline personnel, engineered Alexa to work with third-party devices that can detect falls, and repackaged it all together in a monthly subscription service called Amazon Together that's available for $19.99 a month. Using an Amazon Echo, Echo Dot, or Echo Show, caregivers, whether they're local or remote, can set up customized alerts if their loved one doesn't use Alexa by a certain time each day. They can remotely program Alexa to remind their loved one to take their medication at specified times during the day. They can link music services, manage shopping lists, and if their loved one says, "Alexa, call for help," Alexa can contact an urgent response agent who can dispatch police, the fire department, or an ambulance. And Alexa will also proactively notify the caregiver anytime urgent response is contacted. Alexa Together has also been engineered to work with third-party devices that can detect a fall. And when a fall is detected, Alexa will ask the patient if they want to contact urgent response or their caregiver. Now, if Alexa fails to get a response, urgent response and the caregiver are automatically called. On last week's podcast, we talked about how assistive technology can help people continue living in their own homes and living independent lives. This new service is a great example of how assistive technology can be a game changer for both the person living with MS and their caregiver. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Amazon Together and take advantage of the free 6-month trial that Amazon is currently offering, you'll find that link in today's show notes. Amazon Together allows caregivers to be together with their loved one when time or distance might otherwise stand in the way. Now, this year, the availability of the COVID-19 vaccines allows friends and families to celebrate the holidays truly together, face to face. And if you're living with MS, you might have questions about how to best navigate the holiday season while keeping stress to a minimum. In a moment, we'll be joined by Megan Weigel, an advanced registered nurse practitioner who specializes in neurological care. And Megan and I are going to have what's become our annual conversation about how to enjoy a stress-free holiday season. The song lyrics tell us it's the most wonderful time of the year. For many of us, that means connecting with friends and family, cooking, eating, shopping, attending virtual or in-person social events, and entertaining guests. While all of these holiday season activities bring fun and joy, they can also bring an unhealthy dose of stress. And while stress can feel overwhelming and make everyday life challenging for anyone, it can be especially challenging if you're living with an unpredictable disease like multiple sclerosis. Returning to the podcast to share some strategies that we can use to identify and manage stress when it strikes is Megan Weigel. Megan is an advanced registered nurse practitioner specializing in neurological care, and she brings a unique integrative medicine and holistic nursing perspective to her practice, First Coast Integrative Medicine in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Welcome back to the podcast, Megan.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here.
So let's get to it. What is stress, and how common is it for people living with MS to experience stress?
Well, you know, stress is actually normal. Our bodies were made for stress. The problem is that they were made for stress to happen really quickly and for the problem to be solved and for us to move on. Unfortunately, with the way things are today, we're living in a soup of chronic stress. And that chronic stress leads to physical and emotional problems. And when a person is living with MS, chronic stress and even acute stress can make their MS symptoms worse.
Well, you mentioned making MS symptoms worse, and I know a lot of people wonder about this. Can stress actually cause an MS relapse?
It's been studied, and for a long time there was a debate about it, but I think that the jury is in that chronic severe stress is associated with gadolinium-enhancing lesions and relapses. And so that chronic severe stress is not just, you know, a feeling of low-level overwhelm all the time, but more of a sense of doom, for example, or loss of a loved one, or major financial issues, divorce, trauma, those sorts of things are what have been associated with actual neurological changes in MS.
What are some of the common signs of stress that someone can be looking for?
I would say that you should look at your emotional body and your physical body for chronic signs of stress. And emotionally, many people will say it's a feeling of overwhelm or feeling more irritable than usual. Physically, many people would say there's muscle tension somewhere, like neck and shoulders, jaw, lower back. Some people feel stress in their bellies. They have indigestion or belly pain. Some people feel stress in their heart, literally, like they feel their heart beats fast or they feel short of breath or tightness in the throat. But those are the most common physical and emotional signs of stress.
You know, as I reminded everyone a moment ago, the song tells us that this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. So why are the holidays so stressful for so many people?
You know, John, I think we just put so much pressure on ourselves, right? We try to maintain five generations of family traditions without even taking to heart that most people don't eat the cookies anymore. And we just try to make everyone happy. And we also fall out of our normal routine that helps us maintain a healthy day, helps us maintain a healthy life. We decide to say yes to everyone and everything except the things that we need to feel calm.
You know, the holiday season can be stressful all by itself. When you factor in an ongoing pandemic with brand new variants, well, it doesn't make things easier. But this year, we do have access to COVID-19 vaccines. And because these vaccines have been shown to be safe for people living with MS, the National MS Society has published guidance from its expert vaccine guidance task force saying that everyone with MS should be vaccinated. Do you think the availability of the COVID-19 vaccines has made people feel more comfortable about getting together in person this year?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a welcome sigh of relief for people. You know, living with MS is unpredictable, and then living with COVID just added to that unpredictability. So having the opportunity to empower yourself and make a choice that can protect you is a great thing for folks. And people just really need to be together right now. And I think the vaccines have helped with that.
And in getting together in person, what steps should we be taking to make sure that our holiday get-togethers are safe and celebratory? What do we need to do?
Well, I think we need to talk to each other about vaccination status so that people who are vaccinated can make a decision about their level of comfort being around people who aren't vaccinated. And it actually goes both ways, because there are some people who aren't vaccinated because they're vaccine injured, which means it isn't just their opinion. Rather, they have had an adverse event from a vaccine, even from the COVID vaccine, and could not be vaccinated. So we just have to talk to each other about how we're comfortable being around each other. And I think that if the most vulnerable person is uncomfortable unless people want to wear unless people wear masks, and we all love that person, we should all wear masks. Who cares? You know, let's just take a step back and do what we need to do to be around each other. If you're traveling, I think it's important to look at the guidelines for the area that you're coming from and the area that you're going to. The CDC recommends a viral test 1 to 3 days before traveling, depending on the area that you're traveling from and your vaccination status. And then also just considering what you're doing inside. So if you're going to be at a small family gathering inside, that's different than if you're going to go to a concert inside or, you know, attend a religious ceremony inside, and just make decisions that you're comfortable with that not only protect yourself, but protect other people too.
Let's talk for a minute about talking to each other about vaccinations. Putting aside that negative reaction to a previous vaccine, talking with loved ones about their COVID-19 vaccination status can be awkward or even worse than awkward, especially if they hold a different point of view. How should we approach these necessary conversations?
I think we need to agree to disagree. And then I think with that being said, if you're having a conversation that is a result of different opinions about vaccination status for COVID, and again, you love each other, right? And you want to be together, then agree to make decisions that make things safe for everybody. I just think about if my grandmother were still alive, and if for some reason she couldn't be vaccinated, or if some reason someone in my family would refuse to be vaccinated, I would hope that everyone would be comfortable doing things to protect each other. So either meeting outside or still wearing masks, because at that point, it's really just about caring for each other.
There are things that we can do to reduce our level of stress. Can you share some of those strategies with us?
Sure. Especially during the holidays, as I mentioned earlier, trying your best to maintain some semblance of your routine, which means keeping your body fed with healthy food, staying hydrated, avoiding drinking more caffeine than usual to stay awake to do more things, avoiding drinking too much alcohol because you need to be at parties longer, keeping your body mobile during the holidays. So however you're moving your body, stay on top of that routine, make sure you're getting enough sleep, and then implement something to find calm. Implement a few minutes a day where you can just chill out. And maybe that's just going into your room away from all the chaos and taking 10 deep breaths. Maybe it's listening to Christmas carols and screaming at the top of your lungs in your car. But implement something that brings you joy and peace and calm during a time of the year when, even though that's supposed to be what it's all about, it seems like that's the least, the farthest thing from everybody's mind.
Well, it's not just stress. Depression also tends to run high during the holiday season. And some of the symptoms of stress are quite similar to the symptoms of depression. What are the differences between stress and depression? And how does someone know which one they might be dealing with?
That's a really good question, John, because things come up at the holidays that, you know, may just kind of be buried at other times of the year, like mourning the loss of loved ones, or, you know, maybe not being able to do things like you used to do. And the big key with the difference between I'm stressed out and I'm depressed is that the symptoms, the neuropsychiatric symptoms, last for the better part of a day for 2 weeks or longer. And those symptoms are things like eating too much or not eating enough, changes in sleep habits. Maybe you suddenly have insomnia or you're sleeping too much, feeling more fatigued than usual, feeling more scatterbrained than usual, more klutzy than usual. But some of the big ones are feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, or guilt, and feelings of morbid thoughts, or even suicidal ideation. And I would say the morbid thoughts don't always have to be about you. So it may be just that you're ruminating about losing loved ones and death in general. Those are reasons why you really should give a call to your healthcare provider and try to get some help.
MS can feel isolating under any conditions, and this can be even more true during the holiday season. What are some ways to reduce those feelings of loneliness and isolation that some people experience?
Well, because we are in a state right now where things are, we can get together again, for the most part, pretty safely. I would encourage people to reach out to loved ones, to reach out to friends, and to make plans to do those things, again, in a way that's manageable, that doesn't result in stress. But maybe you think about, you know, your favorite activity to do during the holidays, and you make a plan to do just that, so that you don't spend the holiday season by yourself.
A moment ago, you mentioned contacting your healthcare provider. When is it time for someone to see a professional about better managing their stress or their depression, and who do they call?
Well, I like to talk about coping skills. So if you have coping skills for stress, like maybe when you're stressed out, you exercise, or maybe when you're stressed out, you do something nice for someone, you're doing those things and they don't make you feel better anymore. That's a good time to reach out to a mental health provider or to your healthcare provider. Another thing would be if you're choosing unhealthy coping skills. So for some people, say when they're stressed out, they meet a friend for a beer. But if suddenly you're meeting a friend four times a week and you're having six beers each time, that's not so healthy. you know, so things like that. Or maybe you binge watch a show, but suddenly you're binge watching shows every night and all Saturday and Sunday, and you've withdrawn and become isolated. That's a sign to reach out to a healthcare provider for some help. And I would reach out to your primary care provider or to your MS provider, or if you've ever seen a mental health professional in the past, you can call that person.
Well, Megan Weigel, thank you for all that you do to improve the quality of life for people affected by MS. Thanks for helping us de-stress and make the most of the holiday season.
And thanks, John.
Well, thanks for talking with me today.
You're welcome. I hope you have a happy new year.
Happy new year to you too, Megan.
Thanks.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/224. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. And if you find yourself with some downtime over the holidays, you might want to catch up on your Real Talk MS listening. And the easiest way to do that is through the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It is absolutely the easiest way for us to stay connected. So if you haven't yet gotten around to it, please visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the Real Talk MS app. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. So I hope you'll take a moment and download the app today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.